I'll leave vegan to the
pickleball. It's huge. I love it.
And that's all anybody talked about was pickleball. I went back home. I got to a coach's meeting. I said, if one guy opens his mouth about pickleball, I'm going to knock their ass out.
That's because you're not nimble enough to play pickleball.
I'm nimble.
You're not nimble.
Oh, my God.
It's a small network.
You don't
have to be that nimble.
Well, should we get him out on the pickleball court and see how nimble he is?
I'm just telling you, I can play pickleball.
It's pretty fun.
But look,
it's so fun. I love it. I still can't get over that she has to Orange Theory.
Yes, I am officially working out.
Oh.
And it's not like, I mean, I've been going for probably like a month.
And that's like HIIT workouts.
Yes, it's very hard. I get in the crisis attacks and cry to Cody that I want to throw up. And he says that's what it's supposed to feel like. And
I was saying, you know, what do you have to be thankful for other than family, right? So yeah. This year, what do you have to be thankful for other than same
thing? Other than family. I would say I have...
You've been thinking about
it. You had a breakthrough, right?
No. Well, yeah, I said I am thankful for new medical technology because I had type 1 diabetes and I've been very stubborn. I refused to go to the pump, got in the pump, now I feel much better. So
that's a nightmare. And every time they advance something in diabetes, it makes your life a lot easier.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's tough.
Yes.
That's what I have to be thankful for.
And what
you have to be thankful for. Yeah. Coco?
I won a trip to Kiwa Island.
Well, you didn't win it. You bought it.
Yeah, I was like, you did not win it.
Other people tried to buy it, and I won. I paid
so you spent more money than everyone else to make sure that you and your family
won.
Go.
Right. And I was like, and I won! Well, we'll talk about this after. Yeah. What are you thankful for?
There you go.
I'm thankful for that. I'm going to Kiwa Island. Thank God.
Go play some golf.
I'll tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for Vienna Rescue Squad and Innova Emergency Room because they were awesome. They were fantastic. It was funny. I mean, those boys could save your life. But I was in there and I'm laying down, coming around, and this nurse walks in. And she was beautiful.
You had very attractive nurses.
I had attractive
nurses. Very attractive
nurses. So I'm sitting here, and she goes, walking in, like, I was trying to say, you're beautiful. Right?
It's so
and they're wiring me, and looking through them, I'm like, I couldn't get it out.
Like,
but
that's what you had to worry about? And now she's never going to know she's beautiful.
I was very...
You should let her at her. Send her a bus cutter.
Let her ask, will you shut up?
Meanwhile,
my mom's there like, is he going to make it? And they're like, I think he's trying to say something.
His last words were to the nurse.
The last thing I saw on earth was like, all right, I was beautiful. But I'll tell you one good thing about, it's like, it opens you up to a good comic relief with all the, you can now say that. You're not in trouble.
Well, it's just like, you know, health.
It does. If you go to pickle with me.
You know, Kelly's
I'm not going to do pickleball because it drives me nuts to doing
it. I really like it.
I think you like it. You've never tried. You used to play tennis with mom.
I'm just saying. I go to Neba floor. We sit around. Everybody sits around. They either do pickleball or talk about pickleball for 4 days. That's all we did. I wanted to kill myself. I mean,
so I will be moving to Naples then.
Yeah, those are good people.
I like the
all you do when you sit there is all those balls going all the time. I'm like, God.
They limited the hours on the courts in Vienna because the noise from all the wood paddles hitting the balls.
The pickleball.
Yeah.
I will tell you that, we talked about the kids, a family at Thanksgiving, but I mean, in the toughest times of whether it's real estate or business or, all that, I will tell you in my toughest times in business, I'd come home and you guys were there and you still were happy and you still loved me. So it really didn't matter. Once you do have a real loving family and kids that love you, you really don't care what's happening. I mean, you don't care, have a lot of money or don't have a lot of money. And And that is. So, I mean, I know we can't say family, but family is probably the best thing.
So you just break your own.
I'm ruining my room.
So it's like, no one say family, all right? Everyone else thinks it's something really hard. And he's like, I know we can't say it, but I'm going to go with family.
I don't like family. No.
I'm going to go with my family.
I'm going with
family. I'm looking at it.
All right.
Yeah, actually, that's
all right, so let's talk some business, okay? Let's talk some business. First of all, we had some things go on this week. I want to talk about an understanding of how this builder, lot, new home work, okay? So here's the way it works. A house is determined whether it is worth more as a knockdown for a builder to build a lot, or is it better for a first-time homeowner to move into the house? So we determine that when we come in, and values are the key, right? So when we come in, we have to figure out a homeowner is going to pay this, or a builder is going to pay that. Okay, it's for a builder. So it's real easy. The way we do it is, so let's say you take a lot that's 12,000 square feet. That means a home can be built for 3,700 square feet. It's sold for $2.25 million, and that means the lot is $900,000. So we know that a builder will pay $900,000 for the lot. And then they'll sell the house for $2.25 million. So those numbers are locked in. There's not really a lot of question. That's the way it is. There's two major problems with how the system works and why it's broke. Okay. So 80% of those lots, those little elderly people, 85 years old, 80% of those lots are sold under market value. Means they sell for much less than they're actually worth. Let's say I say the lot's worth $900,000. They're selling, a builder will come in and go, I don't want to kill builders, but someone will come in and go, I'll give you $800,000 for the lot, no commissions. Oh, okay. So that's what they sell for. 80% of the houses sell less than what they're worth. So that's a problem. I mean, these are 70, 80, 90-year-old people. They need that money for rest homes or assisted living or whatever it is. So the first problem is they're not getting what they want for the lot. The second part of the equation is those builders that build the house, okay? You would think they put it on, they put a price on it, and they sell it. Well, $1.12 billion worth of new homes in Vienna, McLean, and Arlington did not sell last year. That's $1.12 billion. And 400,000 are sitting there for an average of 180 days. Okay. So out of the $2 billion, 1.5 is not selling. 75%.
It's crazy.
So it's nuts. So what's the problem? Why is all this going on? First of all, they go to the homeowners. The homeowner does not put it on the open market, so they don't get market value for it. The builder then takes the house and overprices it. Instead of it being worth $2.25 million, which is what it's worth, they price it for $2.4 million. And it sits and sits and sits and sits and withdraws and withdraws and withdraws and withdraws. And eventually it comes down and they sell it for $2.2 million. So the reason the system is broke is because the homeowners don't know what their lots are worth, which is easy for us to determine. And the builders don't know, A, what they should pay for the lot, or B, how much a home, what the home will sell for. They are in an antiquated system where they're like, remember how we go to homeowners and we say, if your home is worth $2 million, put it on for under $2 million, right? Mm-hmm. That's the system. The builders will look at that and put it on, or their advice is, put on for more,
like five and
so you have some cushion for it to go down.
Yeah.
So the problem is that the builders are overpricing. They'd sell like that if they just priced it correctly, but they put that extra money in because they carry the house for 6 months. Uh-huh. And it's just crazy. And they spend so much money, wasted money in the new homes market. So if builders just put it on for what it's worth and homeowners would get what they want, if a builder paid $900,000 for the lot, sold for $2.25. He has his profit in. Everything's perfect. So, but the whole market is out of whack. It's crazy how you could, they're making, the owners are making less, and the builders are getting crashed by not selling houses. So the system for new home sales is absolutely broke. If it wasn't broke, billions of dollars would not be sitting unsold, okay? So it's real simple. Determine the value of the lot, determine the value of the new home, and that's what you sell them for, and everything works just fine. And nobody's carrying anything for 6-7 months and withdrawing, you know, 2 or 3 times, okay? So, and you guys see it. I mean,
all the time.
We see, first of all, let me talk to you guys, because, I mean, you've been experienced with this too. The guy goes in, we start working with a builder, and you think your level is here. And before you know it, you're paying up here, mm-hmm. right? So I had a guy who wants to buy a lot, and he's working with the builder. He says, my home is going to cost $1.7 million to build. And I said, well, your lot is going to cost you $900. What's your budget? $2.5. Well, you're $2.6, and you know, you and I know, that ain't going to be $1.7, it's $1.9.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said, are you willing to do 2.8? He goes, no, I can't go over 2.5. Well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What do you do? That's a problem. If you are, look, if you are considering selling a lot, buying a new home, builder selling a new home, it's very easy to determine value. Just contact us and we'll tell you exactly what it is worth. Because if you don't know what it's worth, if you're just guessing, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake here. Especially if you have an older couple in Vienna. I mean, we grew up in Vienna. We know a lot of these old people. You hate to see them, right, Jamie? I mean, all of our mothers and fathers and all, they're 80, 90 years old. They can't get ripped off for $100,000. They've got to get what a house is worth. And the only way to do that, open it up to the market and free bid on this house and put it at what it's worth so you can get that. So, but, you know, I just... Sometimes they say, well, you don't need to pay commissions. Well, you do need to pay it because $25,000 commission is going to save you $100,000.
Opening it up to all the MLS, I mean, not just doing it behind the scenes to a builder, but if you open it up and, you know, normally a homeowner who's wanting to build for themselves, they're going to pay more than what a builder can because a builder knows what they're going to build, what their margins are, what, you know, their budget is. But a homeowner comes in, they want that lot, and they'll pay over market.
They will.
Value, and, you know, they'll build what they want. If their budget allows it, obviously.
Well, but you're right, Maureen. That's why. So let's say I determine a lot is $900,000. That's to a builder. But a homeowner, they're not bound by profit margins and all that stuff. They say, I like the lot. I know it's $900, but I pay $925, $940. Mm-hmm. So when you open it up, you're really not opening it up to just builders. Every builder has 5 to 7 clients that are looking for lots. Mm-hmm. So the builder says, go look at that lot. If you like that lot, pay whatever you want. I'll build a house on it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the true people we're looking for. Yeah. We're looking for the buyers that want to build that are coming in saying, I want to buy the lot. Now they can go over the 900-pound threshold, and that's great. But if you go directly to one person, one builder, he may say, I give you $100,000, no commissions. Take it. Gone. Mm-hmm. You just left $140,000 on the table.
Yeah, pay the commission.
So, yeah. Yeah, just to say, let's save the commission. So, what is it? Penny, I don't know. I don't know what the saying is. All I know is, you know, one person, you could lose $100,000 to $140,000 to market value if you don't open it up to the whole market. So, anyways. But the other thing with the builders is, go ahead.
I was going to say, but what's also important is sometimes there are situations where would it be easier to lock it up with a builder before having to go to the market? And the answer is yes, sometimes. However, you need to know what the value is and what's the higher level that you can get and what's the lower end that you can get and accept the high end. That if we're not going to expose it to the market, then we want the premium, you know, you locking this up as a building.
What are you talking about? When they're going to.
So before going on the market, let's say there's a lot. Let's say that we can send it out to builders before we hit the market. We're not going to accept 800, you know, which a lot of people do. That's why we're saying it's not good just to give it to builders.
Make me an offer I can't turn.
Exactly. Down. We need to know the value before you offer it to anyone.
They want another opportunity to pay a premium.
Exactly. Because then it's pay the premium, and then you won't have to, you know, we won't go on the market. You'll lock it up right here and now.
So the system is very simple. It's very simple, not complicated. What is the size of the lot? What kind of home can you build? What big a home can you build? What's that home worth? That home times a number equals the lot cost. The lot cost is locked in. And you're right. If I'm looking at this saying it's a $900,000 lot, we might get 925. If one of five builders goes, I'll give you 925.
Yeah. Sure. Then it's like, it's
where you're then you can take it.
That's why it's so imperative. We're not saying that you can't sell it to a builder without giving it to the MLS, but you have to be represented by someone who can tell you what the value is of that home to make the right deal happen.
My only advice to my son is you got to know value. And in real estate, you've got to know value. You got to know what that lot is worth, what the finished house is worth, and where the market is. And that's as easy as this market can be. But people that are kind of taking advantage of older people or overpricing stuff, it's a...
Yeah. How is little Betty going to know what her lot's worth? Mm-hmm.
All I know is what size lot does Betty have and what school district is she in? I can put an exact number on where she
in case it comes in with a cape. I've got you, Betty. I'll tell you what it's worth.
That cape. Super realtor.
Super dad. Super dad. What he used to do. Run around the house with the Taliban going, oh, I'm super dad.
Super realtor.
Super realer. Casey Sampson, super realtor.
But on the other hand,
just don't run around the listing in your underwear.
Don't run around in your underwear. We need a new costume.
It's funny. So I was super down with the kids. They thought it was funny. I'd run around the house with the thing.
The dog would chase you.
The dog would chase me. And then one day I ran over the bed and I grabbed Grandma. There was a ceiling fan that was going full speed. And I went, my head chopped off. So Super Dad was in super pain.
We're like, Mom, Super Dad's bleeding.
Super Dad's down.
He's never been the same since.
So ended my myth of being Super Dad.
Yeah.
Super Dad got chopped off. Yeah. So back to new homes. And when people go out and buy new homes, let's tell them one story. You know, we had a friend that came to us, Kelly, and to buy a new home. And then she's getting ready to go to settlement in 5 days, and the builder comes back and says, your house did not
appraise. Yeah.
And you need to come up with $75,000 immediately, or you can't go to settlement and you lose $50,000 that's sitting in the account.
Because the builders, when you go through a builder, not like a specialty builder like where you get the lot, like this is someone that's building neighborhoods like a Brookfield or Carrington or Evergreen, if they do a new neighborhood.
Right.
You know, you sit down at the table and they say, oh, well, you want this extra outlet? Well, that outlet's going to cost you. Well, how many recess lights do you
have? Oh,
those are going to cost you. And before you, I mean, they did it with me and Cody when we built our house. I think our budget was one thing, and we spent almost, I think it was $200,000 over what our budget was on our house with all of the
easy
upgrades.
To do it, yeah.
It is. Well, because everything adds up. You want a bigger sink? Oh, that's going to cost you.
Well, there's two different kinds of builders. There's really two different builders. One builder puts in standard stuff that's very nice. So let's say in Vienna, that standard builder is going to cost $2.15 million. And then you have another builder that says this home is $1.8 million, but there's nothing in it.
Yeah,
and when you're done,
on top of that.
It's $2.25 million. So you have to be very careful when you're dealing with the builder over what is the standards that you have. And what's
your
tier cost
one,
me?
Like, what are your levels?
What's going to bring it up to customary value? And to be honest with you, you know, you look at it, what's the best way to do it from a builder standpoint? I don't know. They're both You know, it's just a buyer needs to be aware whether they're buying a builder that has standards that are customary or nothing.
Like, how do you get a range?
Are you going to go contingencies when you go with a builder? So if you buy a resale, you can put in an appraisal contingency, financing contingency, and all of that. With a builder, you cannot put that in. So, and you pay for all the builder's closing costs, which I don't think most people also realize when you go to the table. So then you're paying all of their closing costs plus all the upgrades. And so, yeah, if you get a house that's stacked full of everything that you want and, you know, outlets every, like, foot and a million recessed lights, you know, and it doesn't appraise because the neighbor didn't get, well, because I just remember they were so expensive. And Cody's like, I'm sorry, what? I can put that in for like $25 and you're charging me $150 for this. Like,
Kelly's husband's a master electrician, so those outlets really ticked her off.
We actually snuck in after dark and ran wire through all of the walls and all of the
which
ceiling.
Which is absolutely a massive prohibitive thing.
Yeah, it snuck into you.
Like when
snuck
it was
in
just
to my house when they were building it, and he ran wires through every ceiling and every wall, and then
the
brought
builders
the wire
were coming, and they're like, "Oh, nice job."
Well, they don't know because they're just you know, they say screw here, then they screw punch here, and so then so we moved in. All Cody did was drill a hole, and then I would have to reach my hand up and find the wire, pull it down, and then we had all of our lights.
But they didn't
Because they don't know, like, you have, like, one guy does this job, one guy does this job. They don't, like, really talk to each other and be like, does this yellow
Cody
wire
just shows
now?
Up on a job? Cody's been working the whole time. They don't even know. They're like, does anyone know this guy?
But,
you know, the problem is for most people is they put all these upgrades in, and they can afford the upgrades because they're financing everything. But if, you know, the appraisal comes in and it's low, you're screwed. And our friend, really, I mean, she called me in a panic.
You got to come out of pocket with $7,000.
Or they wouldn't settle. And then if they didn't settle, they were in
default.
And then they had to lose their money. And so it was, and, you know, the builders for some of these big ones, they have their preferred lenders. So you can only use those lenders to get that down or to get the stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but didn't she go? She went directly through the builder. She decided. Yeah. She didn't use you. But from the start, if you were involved in that whole process, you would have flagged these things. You would have told her all of the things that she
and so when I went with another friend that built in Willowsford, we were much more conscious of, like, what the upgrades are going to be. What were the neighbors' houses selling for? Because they weren't the first house on the block. They were one of the last houses. So we could go through and figure out, okay, that neighbor's house sold for 1.3. That neighbor's house was 1.4. You're only at 1.2. You're good, or whatever the price was at the time. And, you know, you need to make sure that the comps around your house.
Right.
But
even at that, we would require that the financing be done early. So we have 2, 3, 4 weeks of, did it appraise? No, got it. We whip to another appraiser, a corresponding lender that has an appraiser that will come in and get that thing appraised. We kind of prevented.
Yeah.
If I just had a week, we could have prevented by throwing her to the right lender that can appraise it correctly, and then she didn't have
money. And you might not get the builder's, you know, credits. So it's like $10,000 if you go with our lender. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're paying $70,000 to make up the difference.
Yeah.
And that's what people forget, where sometimes they'll go directly to the builder because they're getting an incentive of, what, $10,000, but at the end of the day, that's going to cost you because you aren't aware of certain things from the start.
Nothing's free. Nothing.
Right, and they say $10,000. But is your rate you're paying higher? I mean, is it built into that loan, that $10,000? So
and
the problem.
Yes. I mean, sometimes they are great because, you know, I did it when I bought my house. I went with one of their preferred lenders and I sent everything to Mike and he said, I can't beat that. Unfortunately, like all the things, this is good. And it was local. It was George Mason. I mean,
right.
She was
George Mason.
They were great. But, you know, that's just one case where it worked out. Some people, you know, you don't know.
If they give you a good rate, it appears, then why not?
You just have to be careful putting too much stuff in the house, getting it overappraised, getting caught at the last minute, and then having to come out of pocket with a ton of money. She was so close to losing about $50,000, which is so much money for her. You know, she was just that close, unless, you know, you stepped in with
help. What did you guys do? Did you switched her to a different lender?
They didn't want to call it.
This was a while. Yeah.
Hard money loan or something?
I don't know what happened.
I'm not going to mention who.
We're like, what'd you do? Dad's like, I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. But let's just put it this way. There are sorts you could take that
they love their new home. They bought the house. Everything's good.
Is...
calling the fixer.
Well, use professionals. No Uncle Bernie's. No, again, you had the problem when a uncle, nephew, son-in-law steps in the middle of a transaction, tries to do something. If they screw it up, it's on you. I mean, there are things that you've got to look at, documents and schematics, and where's the, you know, storm retention going to be, and all this stuff. And so if somebody steps in and they try to do that and miss something, it's going to hurt. So all I'm saying is you need to work with professionals that know what they're doing, soup to nuts, and nobody gets hurt. There's a ton of money at stake, whether it's a lot sale, a builder that's going to build on that home, or another bigger builder. It's no place for him.
Even just piggybacking on that, this weekend, one of the offers that came in would not remove their septic and well inspection, so they had the contingency in place, and it was a strong offer. But the father-in-law was like, you have to keep it in there. You have to have it inspected.
Sure, you're not getting that house.
We had a contingent offer we went with.
To your Uncle Bernie or father-in-law. They'll kill your deal.
Yeah.
You know, but it is. That was a great house. So, and talking about the market, we launched a house this weekend that had tons of people at the open house.
It might have been 100 people.
100?
It was at least 80.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, you lose track. But it was a block party. I mean, the road was shut down.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Which shows that the buyers are out there, and you got multiple offers and way over list price. So that kind of market is back, you know? Yeah. But now we've got the government has just decided to go back to work, and now hopefully things will smooth out a little bit. Until the next rumble, you know, in the market. But at least hopefully this will calm the market down. Rates are coming down. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we're getting to the end of 25, right? So, quick background. 22 was up here in sales. 23 was way down here. Crummiest year of all time. 24 was just above that. 25 is just above that. So, I mean... we've been in a dungeon of sales for 3 years now. Yeah. And 25 was going good until the tariff scared everybody and then shut down. So we really, 25 never materialized. It really stayed at that 24 level at a very bad level, you know? Mm-hmm. But which is a shame because it seems like all our homes that we put on the market sold fast, sold over market value. But I will say this. Let me make another point. It's important. The people that are selling today are have-to sellers. They're not want-tos. These are not people going, let's go ahead and sell. It's good. They have to. They're getting a divorce. Somebody died. They downsized. They lost their job. We know what's going on. So people have to sell. So let's make sure we know that today. 40% of the homes on the market are withdrawing unsold. And those are people that had to sell it. So you can't just list with anybody or do, you know, just freewheel it in a hard market. Those 40% of the people, the homes didn't sell, they had to sell. They lost their job. They were really running out of funds. They got to sell these houses. They got a divorce. They have to sell the house. So in order for that house to go on the market, withdraw and sold is a tremendous burden on the seller.
And with that, so these people have to sell. But what goes along with that is they tell their realtor, whoever comes in, well, we have to get this number.
And yeah. So they're trying to dictate what we're going to put it on the market for. Well, we don't have enough money, so we can't prep it. So we don't have the budget to put in. We can't take less than this. We can only put 10 grand in to fix it up. But if it needs more than that, you know, we're not doing it. And then you end up, it's underprepared, it's overpriced, you sit, and now you're going to lose a lot more than what you would have.
People that invest into the property is going to cut into their, you know, net profit.
Mm-hmm. So To be honest with you, that's the problem with the builders too. There's the way you price things is what is the market willing to pay?
Right.
But what a person listed at, let me go through the mind of the builder. I spent this much, I got that much into it, I got that much, I want profit, I want that profit. I need 2.5 million. The house is worth 2.25 million. That's the way a lot of builders think, right? And that is why $1.12 billion in new homes withdrew unsold. Because some of them think like that.
Has and a lot realtors, of carrying costs.
And a lot of the realtors are like, yeah, whatever you want. You know, you say that, that's what we'll put it on for. It can't. There's a value on a 3,600 square foot home in this location, in this school district. That's what it's going to sell for. You can't go up that high. And a lot of people either don't know or are afraid to tell a builder that. So that mentality of this is what I need doesn't work. And that's what you're talking about with the home. The homeowner will say, I need this. It's like, I don't care. The buyers don't care
what you need.
It's not me.
Yeah.
The buyers don't care what you need. They only care what it's worth. This is what it's going to sell for if you want to get maximum money out of it. Or don't sell.
And at the end of the day, you never have to accept a contract.
Right.
So you want to drag it along, you know?
If you get five contracts, that's what your house is worth.
Yeah.
And if you don't think you want to sell for what your house is worth, then forget about it.
And then if you don't get contracts, then thank God you didn't go any higher.
Definitely not.
You're gonna be just chasing that problem.
Morgan, a truer word was never said. Let's say we put it on for $2 million, and we think it's worth $2.1 million, and you put on for $2 million, and you get, and the person's like, I don't know if I want $2 million. But it's like, that's to generate the bids. Whatever those bids come in, that's what your house is worth. Mm-hmm. If you get five people all freely bidding and they say $2,050,000, that's what the house is worth at this time. So the question is, are prices going up or are prices going down? Where are they headed in the future, right? Well, I'm just going to tell you, the window to that is very, very visible of what's happening in the future. Right? Inventory will go up. We've had 3 years of bad inventory. Inventory will rise. As inventory rises, prices get soft. That's just the way it happens. So even if rates go down, if inventory goes up, the market's going to get soft. So if somebody looks at $2,050,000 and says, I really don't like that number, then you're going to hate $1.9 million down the road. So you know, I'm sorry, but whatever the house is worth today, that's pretty much a top-out number for the next, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but when that inventory comes back, those prices are getting soft.
Supply and demand.
Huh?
Supply and demand.
That's just the way it works. So, you know, hey, price it what it's worth, get people a bid on it, and don't listen to Uncle Bernie.
Keep your father-in-law out of it.
Keep your father-in-law out of it.
Unless your father-in-law's case is
serious. Now it is your father-in-law. Don't trust your father-in-law.
That's your father-in-law.
That's your father-in-law.
In my day.
Unless it's mine.
In my day. But the markets are different, you know? I mean, it might have worked when in his day or their day or something had happened. But markets change weekly, monthly. You've got to keep an eye on what's happening. What are the trends? What are the prices? I mean, if I got out of the business for 6 months and I came back, gave my advice, it's a whole different market. I wouldn't know what to give advice on.
Yeah.
You know? Well, we also have the Marine Corps' 250th anniversary. For God's sake, 250 years. For the United States Marine.
Do we get to put up like a flash of you in your uniform?
Yeah, we can do that.
I think roll the commercial.
Not gonna roll
the commercial.
Same uniform, same stuff.
Does it still fit?
Well, maybe maybe you should come get out on the pickleball court with me and work out. It's Orange Theory, but it's National Pickleball Month. So you guys are going to come play pickleball with me. Yeah. Thanks, Cal. Oh, my God. Right. Did you have these made for us?
Taking this home with
me. We need the CST across the front.
See, if I had this mallet
and
I get that ball served, I'm bringing it. Yeah. I'm smashing somebody. I just had a smash.
Okay.
I know this.
I think this called dinks.
I'm not gonna dink.
There'll be no dinking.
Partner, if you get across to me, I'm bringing it over the top as hard as I can, right in your beam.
Oh my!
Boom! That's why I have 200
pounds. That's why you can't play pickleball.
Well, I'm not gonna go, and Carol's gonna be over there. I'm coming over the top. That's all I know. Why not?
Well, I don't think you're supposed to like pound it at people. I think you're just like,
well, that's why sport can't be that fun. What's so fun about it? Dinking and dunking.
I have a great time. I work up a sweat. We'll get you sore ass there. Yeah.
Work up a sweat.
I'm just gonna stand in one spot. If the ball gets anywhere near me, it's coming.
That's
coming.
Cody. Dude. No, actually, no. Actually, him and Cody would be the perfect team.
Yeah.
Because Cody will not let anyone else hit. And so Dad would just stand there, and then Cody would just be going
the
back
ball
and forth all
my
over.
Tube, it's coming hard.
That's
anywhere
right.
else,
yeah,
I don't want to.
Great questions.
You guys would be good.
All right.
You stand in the back. Cody, literally, when we played with him, he just stood in the middle. It was like,
I'm standing where I can drill one coming right across the net, drill it back as hard as possible.
See, but then Dad,
and then Cody,
if one was coming right to him, he'd be like, oh, and then Cody flies in, hits the one ball that he could get.
Cody, God damn it, hit the ball. So Cody would be known in pickleball circles as a poacher. Is that
he's
what you call him?
Definitely a poacher. So his mom gets extremely irritated. I don't think she'll ever play with Cody again.
I know.
Yeah, she does good. She takes it more seriously than I do.
You got to respect the line in the middle.
I know. Yeah. He sees no lines.
If I see kill shot, I take kill shot. So I don't know. And that's why I'm not invited to pickleball.
I know. Well.
None of this you aren't agile. It's just... No, I play for keeps.
All right. Well, then we'll do a tournament.
Yes, I will be there tomorrow at 11 if anyone wants to drop in with me.
Where do you
tavern?
At the Village Pickle.
Village Pickle. And is that?
It's in Leesburg.
Now, one other thing. We were talking when Ferris was here about the Leesburg stuff and stuff. What was that winery that I sent out? Or was it a...
Oh, Dirt Farm.
Dirt Farm. Mm. That was awesome.
Yeah.
It's up on a mountain. You're looking out over everything. They had a great band playing.
Yeah. I go there all the time. I try to get you all out there to come to all of the awesome wineries.
That's right across from the farm, right?
Yeah. It's right across from Great Country Farm. And then there's a winery on the other side of it, Bluemont Vineyard.
Bluemont Vineyard.
Yeah.
I buy their wine at Holt, but Total Beverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all out there.
Total
with the Tinker Dove.
And Total Wine. And Total Beverage. You out.
All right. Cheers. We'll see you guys next time.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers,
guys.
Yeah.